Guys, welcome to episode 151 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with a female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I am joined by Scottish superstar, Rosie Knight. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today, I am joined by Scottish superstar, Rosie Knight. So how are you doing today, Rosie?
Hello. Yeah, I'm really good. How are you?
I'm excited to be chatting with you today. You know, I've spoken with your tag team partner, Angel, in the past, but it's nice that we're finally getting you on the show. I loved the chat you had with Billy from Scottish Wrestling Network. I just listened to that. So shout out to Billy. That was great.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a brilliant one. I mean, I'm still pro sheep. If that's still an argument, I'm still here for the sheep.
Good times. Now, firstly, how have you managed to stay positive throughout this last year of craziness in the world, not only in the world, but in the world of wrestling? Just how have you been able to stay positive through it all?
Wow, it's long-winded, isn't it? It's been mad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've worked all the way through it, considering I work for the NHS over here and I work as a healthcare worker.
Yeah.
So I've actually been working throughout the full thing, and sometimes it was really hard to stay positive being surrounded by, obviously, the COVID patients, and that's where I primarily worked. So you were going home every day, absolutely drained. But I think what always kept me going is, I've obviously, Angel being my tag partner, I was always surrounded by her.
Yeah.
And my brother, he's also a professional wrestler as well. And we always kind of kept the motivation of, let's keep going. Like, even through the... obviously the speaking out movement, I don't want to dwell on that too much, but even for that, we were still trying to kind of see the positive, like when we get back, things will be different and things will evolve and change. We've got plenty of time for change. So we just having they two as a support network for talking about wrestling. And obviously I've got lots of friends like Emily Hayden, Wrestle Beach.
She's amazing. I love her.
You can't not be positive talking to Wrestle Beach when you've got a problem or when you feel rubbish. And obviously the girls in Scottish Wrestling are a close group. Like, we all chat, we all get along really well. So even having that support network of, I'm here if you need me and stuff like that, it was always great to hear that. And I think just a sense of community in the girls wrestling kept does all going, like making sure none of us were going to take the leave and run because we're a small I guess just the support networks we kind of built up kept us all positive and kept us going and excitement that we would be back after COVID was done.
Yeah, so are you currently still in uni for nursing? Is that correct? Yeah. So how has that dynamic worked? Is it online for you guys? Because I know that the UK has been closed down more than a lot of places.
So for university, we were all online. So the full year has been online.
Okay.
It has been really hard. It's been like teaching yourself how to be a nurse without any actual like in-person physical learning. We got one class in person, but it was literally I think 2 hours, and it was learning CPR before we all go out on our nursing placement. So I'm due to go out in July, so I mean it's going to be a lot of stress going out considering we've not actually been in the uni and learned properly how to use like blood pressure machines and stuff like that. But I mean, again, there's a group of girls, obviously we all talk, and then we've all kept each other going for the stresses of, like, I think I must have had about 10 mental breakdowns during the full year. And it's just been like, I can't do this essay, I can't do this, I don't know how to feel about it anymore. And obviously, sadly, we've kind of like lost a good few people that just can't cope with it. And they're going to come back once COVID stops and kind of everything calms down. But it's been rubbish, like not being able to get your freshers week and going out for drinks with your uni pals and ranting about uni. It's been a bit rubbish that way.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how you handled it accordingly, because I graduated college, or university, I guess you would call it, in 2019. So literally a full year before all of this went down.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate, but I've had friends who have gone through like the same ordeal as you, especially like my one friend is in nursing as well. And then I have another friend in culinary, and there's certain kind of need that hands-on or in-person experience.
Do.
And it's not
you
the
do.
Same because, you know, with certain fields, you need that hands-on experience to be able to perfect everything, especially in something like nursing where it's critical, like literally could be life or death with that something. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed that like you guys are able to actually get out there, because I think it definitely is huge, especially in the field you're in, to be able to have like firsthand experience.
It's like learning, you get taught obviously how to communicate with a patient and everything, and you're kind of like, I've not been able to actually see a patient until the end of my first year, and I'm about to go into second year obviously after my placement. But I mean, I've kind of got the benefit of, I've been working in the healthcare industry already in the hospitals, so I've been able to watch how nurses are approaching things and getting help off the nurses on what I will do during my placement. So I've had that benefit, but there's not everyone out there that has that benefit. And it's horrible for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. Well, kudos to you. You should be really proud though that you've been able to stick with it, especially through like your own mental health of this pandemic and physical health and all of this. So kudos to you.
Definitely.
Thank you for continuing to strive forward, especially with something as pertinent and crucial as nursing, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's been a wild ride. I'm ready for a wee break.
I bet. Now, something else I'm curious to know is, obviously a few years ago, you described yourself as punk, unpredictable, and random. So fast forwarding a few years, would you still stand by that answer in regards to yourself?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd kind of say I'm like, and explaining that, as I always say to Andrew, I'm like anti-diva. Like, you'll never see me like done up and looking like I've just came out of like a photo shoot, like a model photo shoot. Like, I mean, the tattoos and stuff, like the sleeves, and I've expanded on that since before lockdown happened. So obviously didn't get to showcase them, but I'm still the same. Like, I don't actually, like, kind of laid back, like nothing really bothers me. So, and that's just kind of person I am in real life. Like, nothing really bothers me. I'm a bit unpredictable. Like, at any given moment, I could just do something random that it literally doesn't make any sense to what I was just thinking about. So I just kind of base that upon the kind of person I actually am. And like, I love my pop punk music. So, and I mean, that shows in the kind of the wrestling style I go for. Like, I mean, I would say I'm kind of like, to an extent, like copying AJ Lee. Like, just her as a person, like, she was just always so different from everybody else. And I guess for myself, I always felt a bit different as well, and I just kind of stuck to that.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to play off of that a little bit in my next few questions here, which actually none of them are wrestling related besides like the AJ Lee thing, but it makes it more fun. So you mentioned your tattoos, first of all. So I'm curious to know, what was your first tattoo you got, and when did you get it?
Oh, so my first tattoo, it was actually a treble clef, and it's like the tiniest wee treble clef on my wrist. And I got it in Turkey when I was 17. I begged my dad. I was like, Dad, it's only £10. I'm going to be 18 in a month. Can I just get it? And my dad was grumbling, arguing, no, you're not getting it, you're not getting it. And there was me, 17-year-old, in a huff with my dad, absolutely annoyed that he wouldn't let me get it. And then we went round on the last day, and he went, do you know what? How small is it? And I was like, it's tiny. I just want it on my wrist, Dad. That was him. He's like, right, take a tenner and get it. And if you don't like it, then it's your own fault. And that's how it started off.
Yeah, so I've been curious about, this is just me myself, I've been wanting a wrist tattoo for the longest time. Like, I always knew what I wanted. Like, how would you rate the pain on a wrist tattoo from 1 to 10?
I mean, I don't think there was any pain at all. like, I barely felt it. I think the wrist is the perfect place to start for a tattoo. It definitely is.
Okay. I've been putting it off for years now, and I've been wanting one so badly. But which tattoo then do you think was the most painful process for you? Because I know you have a bunch. Like, you have like your whole arm covered, and then you have some on your forearm on the other, and then a couple on your legs. Which one do you think was the most painful?
So I've actually got one on my rib.
Oh, yeah.
The rib was my most painful one. Like, there was a lot of shading in that. It's like, it's basically a triangle, and inside it, it's got roses, and then it has, like, it's blacked out in the back, and the blacking out of it was so painful because you could just feel it hit
right on your bone.
Ribs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and I was like, no, can this stop now?
How long did that one take with all the shading? Because that had to have been a few hours then, right?
No, actually, my friend's a tattoo artist, so she kind of does all mine for me, except the hourglass on my arm, I actually got that done while I was living in St. Louis. So the one on my rib took 45 minutes to an hour, I'm sure it was. It was quick, but it was the most painful 45 minutes ever.
Yeah, especially right on your bone right there.
Ugh. Yeah.
Now,
it was not nice.
Now, do you have any future plans or ideas for your next tattoo, if you're considering getting one anyway?
Yeah, so okay. I'm definitely, I've got a £50 voucher I got off my mom and dad for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So basically, whenever it's my birthday, Christmas, anything, the first thing somebody will fling at me is a tattoo voucher. And I want to get a Marilyn Monroe piece because I just love Marilyn Monroe.
I'm staring at my Marilyn Monroe calendar right now. I love that.
Okay. Marilyn Monroe is, she's the pinnacle of, like, women's beauty for me. So I want to get a piece on her, but I don't want, like, one of these, like, you know, these ones that people get where, like, she's smoking and all that. And
yeah.
I want to get just one of her, like, general beauty. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a mirror before my Nana passed that had a picture of Marilyn Monroe kind of in it, like kind of outlined in it. And I kind of want to get that exact outline, the exact one she had on her mirror on, I think, my thigh. I want a really big thigh piece. So that's the next goal.
Oh, so it's kind of like a memory of your grandma too, tied in with Marilyn. Oh, I love that. That's like a two in one. I love that.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, speaking about, you mentioned, obviously, you're huge into pop punk and punk, as I can imagine. Who are some of your personal favorite artists or bands?
So my favorite top band is A Day to Remember.
Okay.
And then it goes All Time Low. I absolutely love All Time Low. I see them every time they come to Glasgow, regardless of how old I am. It was never a phase. It was not. And then you've got, like, Blink 182 and stuff like that. I'm Green Day, like, I just live for it all. I was supposed to be going to Download over here, so obviously that's a big festival where you get like Kiss were supposed to be there, and oh, it was going to be amazing, and then because of COVID it got cancelled. And A Day to Remember were going to be there. It was going to be the absolute best time, but it got cancelled. But it's been announced for the same bands for next year, so I'll be there.
Now, were you a frequent concert goer before the pandemic and all of that?
Oh yeah, love a concert. So I would go to, like, anything, like Fall Out Boy, Biffy Clyro. Mm-hmm. You've got any All Time Low, Sleep with Sirens. I went to them all.
Okay, so in that regard then, what was the last concert you went to pre-COVID, and what was the best concert you've ever attended?
So I think the last concert, which is quite funny actually, I think the last concert I went to was Shania Twain.
Oh, okay, totally opposite. Yeah, okay, a little bit of country. Okay,
I do love a bit of country. Country's probably up there with pop punk. And then I think the best concert I went to would have been All Time Low, 100%, or Leeds Festival, which is where kind of all the big name bands went as well, when they had Metallica headlining, and they had All Time Low, they had Panic at the Disco. It was the best weekend ever. But I think probably my favourites are any All Time Low one. I just always have a great time there.
Yeah, I miss... Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, but Shania Twain was a really close contender in that.
I'm just trying to imagine you at a Shania Twain concert. I think that'd be really fun.
It was great. I would go again 100%.
Now, I guess along that same realm, is there any like band or artist on your music playlist that you think people would be surprised at? I mean, Shania Twain is definitely one since I saw you anyway as punk. Is there anything else you think people would be surprised to see on your music playlist?
I mean, I literally am a musical geek, like really badly. And on my playlist, I've got like the full High School Musical trilogy playlist.
Love that. Okay.
On top of ABBA. I mean, I love ABBA as well. Like the Mamma Mia's, I live for them. But yeah, I'm a big musical theatre geek as well. So I've got all of that, like every music, like Hairspray and everything. I love them.
Did you ever do any musical or theatre in like your high school or grammar school days?
Yeah, I did. Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Can you tell us more about that?
So I done quite a lot. So I went to one of the kind of like big musical theatre schools in Glasgow. It was like, it was really hard to get into kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I got accepted for the musical theatre programme. So I was every Sunday doing dance, drama, singing. And then I was actually in the pantomime Cinderella. And we'd put on musicals like Cats and The Muppets Christmas Carol. And I've done it since I was like 8 up until I was 16. And then suddenly decided I was too cool for musical theatre and then regretted it so much. But then when I went to live over in the States, I've stayed in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I'd done musical theatre there and we'd done at one of the camps and we'd done Hairspray. 1 year and then we've done Lion King Junior another year and it was just so good. I loved it.
Now, what do you think has been your best performance in a play or musical or any theatrical performance? What do you think has been your best acting performance? Or it could be singing too. But
I think my best acting performance has got to be when me and my little brother played Marley and Marley in The Muppets Christmas Carol. It was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I lived for it. Like they were like, oh, it'd be good if we could get a family to do it. And there's me and my wee brother. And they're like, perfect, you do it. And it was great. I loved it.
Man, I wish I had. So I did like dance and stuff growing up and a little bit of singing, but I never really delved into like theater. I was more like sports too, but yeah. I feel like I missed out on that because my brother was more into the theater and stuff. And it was something I always liked watching and I had some experience, but that's one of my regrets is that I never like got involved in that because it sounds so fun and it gives you some like creative freedom to like be or portray somebody else. And like, it's like a form of expression, you know?
Yeah. And that's like, I regret I'd been offered a scholarship to like a theater school rather than going to like a mainstream school.
Yeah.
I'd been offered a place in a musical theater school. And at the time I was like, no, all my friends are going to high school and down the road for me. I want to go there. And it's like the biggest regret in my life. Like I wish I just went. Mm-hmm. And I just always say to myself, I always say like, if I have children one day, if they set their mind to something, then I'm going to make sure they follow through in it because I regret not following through in what I thought that I should be doing right now.
Yeah. But then who knows, maybe you wouldn't have ended up in wrestling, you know? But
exactly.
I mean, I totally get though. It's always the what ifs that get you. I totally understand.
Yeah.
But speaking of wrestling and going back to that original in terms of unpredictability, you obviously cited AJ Lee as one of your favorites in the ring. So can you tell us more about what drew you to her specifically? Because she's incredible. But what draws you to her?
I think for me, it's kind of like when you were watching kind of back in that era, everyone was kind of like looked like a model, like a swimsuit model.
Yeah.
And you were looking at the telly going, what in the name? You're like, how am I ever going to fit in? Look at all these girls and look at me. Mm-hmm. And then I seen AJ Lee and I was like, she is just so cool. Mm-hmm. Like she's an absolute psychopath, but she is cool. And it was like the Converse and I was back when I was kind of the age of like 12, I was starting to go to the kind of Converse and the checkered shorts and the denim shorts and the the fishnet tights and all that. Mm-hmm. And eventually I was like, I want to be her. Like, see, when I'm old, I want to be her. I want to be in the ring. I want to look like her. And I think I just kind of fell in love with the way she just didn't care that she didn't look like the other females in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, she had no kind of, like, she just completely went, I'm an anti-diva and that's how I'm going to be. And if you don't like it, then get out. And I loved it. I was like 100% here for it. Mm-hmm. So I think eventually for me, I grew up and I was pretty much the same. Like, everyone was like dead pretty and like hair all done and makeup to a T. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, no, that's not me. So I just kind of like expanded on myself as what I was like. Basically, my character is portrayed on a version of me when I was maybe about 15. Mm-hmm. And I took that and I just kind of like exemplified it to now what age I am. And I thought, you may as well based on your character on someone that you know.
Yeah.
And obviously I've changed since I was 15, but my mindset was, I can be a character that was me, so I know how to portray her, but obviously portray her now. And to me, that's what AJ Lee done, because I feel like in reality, she would have been the same person out of the ring. She still would have looked the same, but she was maybe a bit more chilled out rather than a complete psychopath.
Yeah. Because everything is amped up in the ring. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So I just fought the exact same as her, like the process of why do I need to look amazing all the time? Why can't I just go in, do what I need to do and get out? And that was my mindset. It just kind of stuck eventually, because to an extent, I feel everybody needs something that's going to make them stand out. And for me, kind of being the anti-diva and having all the tattoos, and to an extent, I do stand out in regards to, like, when you put me near and line up the other girls, like, mm-hmm. you can see, oh, well, she's not the same. She looks completely different. I mean, I love every girl in wrestling. I think every girl's phenomenal. That's not, like, me saying, oh, they all look the same. They definitely mm-hmm. don't. Like, no, everybody's different in a unique way, and that's what I mean. Everybody has their own unique standout point. So for me, it was kind of like the tattoos and the denim shorts, and I've just looked like I've literally got up this morning and put on a pair of shorts and went to a wrestling ring, and that's what my thought process was.
I love that though, because like you said, it does make you stand apart now, and especially wrestling has evolved now to where now today you have so many different people from so many different walks of life and different appearances, different attitudes. And so if that empowered you to be yourself, that's an amazing thing, because in wrestling, like you said, it's one of those things where there's so many different characters, but if you can find that one person who you feel like you can relate to or who empowers you, utilize that. Definitely. If you use that as influence, because you're doing your thing, but if you can find some influence from somebody you look up to and utilize it successfully, which you have, then go for
it. Well, that one person I always think back to on like kind of utilizing things is Ashley Vega. Like, she herself, like I've been mm-hmm. keeping up with her online recently. I know she is a great person, mm-hmm. but like what I was going to say is, she's kind of the person that's been looking into wrestling and seeing how everybody looks. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of went back to that old look era, like, so what they would have looked like back then. And mm-hmm. she's played on that. And mm-hmm. I think it's phenomenal what she's doing, like playing on that kind of, well, do you know what? No one does old school diva anymore. Mm-hmm. So insert my idea, and people she looks up to is obviously like Mickie James and stuff. She's went right back and went, what did they used to look like back in the day? And can I bring it back to this era? And she's done great with it, like making herself look more kind of old school era, because everybody's evolving, and she's probably seen that. And I have major respect that she's looked at that and went, well, no one's evolved the old school era, so what about if I do it, and then I'm going to stand out mm-hmm. for doing that? And I think she's a perfect example of someone that's kind of like used, like done her homework and had a look at the other kind of people and went, how can I stand out? And that's what she's done. She's made herself look like old school era rather than the evolved era. And I think it's great, or like her thought process.
Oh, for sure. And she puts her own unique twist on it, just like yourself. Like you, everybody has their own unique quirks and features that are specific and distinct to them. So you guys are all your own unique person. You might take some influence from people, but nobody is a carbon copy of yourself.
No.
You always have that one little twist or a few things about yourself that make you stand out. And exactly. you and Ashley are just two examples of that for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody's got their own little kind of knack that makes them stand out. And it's just a point of kind of like, how's someone going to remember you? And that's what I mean. Like somebody could walk up and go, well, I remember Rosie. She's the kind of one with the tattoos. Mm-hmm. And that's, even if it's just the tattoos you're remembered by, at least somebody's got a memory. Or Ashley, oh, I remember she was wearing the little old school skirts kind of thing. And obviously you've got Angel. She's like, obviously for Angel, it's got to be that random little circle thing that she's like, metal piece, that ring that she's got on her gear. And everybody's got something that makes them stand out. Or Angel as well, her hair's always kind of placed the same, so people remember people via just the small knacks.
Oh, for sure. And you know, speaking of Angel, I found it really ironic that Angel was your first opponent, and now it's kind of come full circle now that you two are tag teaming together, you know,
from
the pandemic and everything. So what are your thoughts on this new dynamic and it now working with her and it kind of coming full circle to this?
I mean, Angel to me is like family. She's been actually in my family for 6 years. She, I don't know if this is a reveal, but she actually dates my little brother.
Okay.
So she's actually been around in the family for 6 years. So I've known her since she was like 13, 14.
Yeah.
So for me, it was always, I kind of looked up to her because she's so young and how far she's come. So for me, it was like, she mentored me. She kind of helped me in wrestling. Like, she was kind of one of my trainers. And it was mental considering she used to come around to my house for dinner and now she was like training me. But when we get told we were becoming tag partners, it was exciting because obviously she's like a baby sister. Mm-hmm. So it all became kind of like a laugh. And we have a great time with it. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I will still take her one-on-one. But
yeah.
I do love the fact that we're getting to build on this like together. And I learn a lot from wrestling with Angel, like tagging with her. So for me, I'm learning, but also developing. And also I'm getting to and like spend more time with one of my sister and one of my closest friends, because she is one of my closest friends. Like, we don't need Logan about to hang out. Us two could go out for a meal and it wouldn't be weird to like. So I just love the fact that getting to learn from her all the time and pick her brain, because considering how young she is, like, her brain for wrestling is just one that you want to delve into and like steal every knowledge from it.
Oh yeah, for sure. And even just like speaking with her last year, she's been in here since she was so young. So she's kind of grown up with it. And so she kind of had to mature really, really fast. I feel like she growing up in wrestling in such a tough business, not only physically, but mentally as well.
Yeah, definitely. So
you can definitely see her dedication and love for her work and the maturity level that she's at in her work, for sure.
Definitely. But I'm looking forward to Angels of the Night's future anyway. So There's a few more twists and turns coming with Angels of the Night. Not twists and turns, but there's stuff coming up.
Oh,
we haven't disappeared. We're coming.
Yeah. So I'm not only in the UK tag team scene is Angels of the Night, but we also have other teams like Pretty Little Killers, the She-Wolf, Sanitarium, and a lot more. I'm sad though that we lost Medusa Complex and Valkyrie and Debbie Keitel. But
Do
you think that we will see an even further rise in tag team wrestling in the UK once it opens back up again?
I'd love to hope so, considering like there's so little females in the wrestling business. But I mean, let's hope within this lockdown there's been young girls that have went, I really want to be a wrestler, and been like taking this year to go, no, I definitely want to do it. Since I've not had the opportunity, it's making me want to do it more. So I'm hoping that there's going to be new arrivals and new tags forming and new people just kind of getting out there. But I know Fierce Females have been one company that's are wanting this tag teams to come out. Obviously, me and Angel have wrestled the Pretty Little Killers on there. So we're hoping, the hope is there is going to be a tag division. So we're hoping that we're hoping that Veda manages to get tag teams out of the works and pairs people together. Because, I mean, me and Angel were just kind of paired together because we knew each other. Yeah. And it just became a working dynamic. Like, we were both like, well, this works. So, I mean, Angel, you trained me, so I basically have all your little things. So we can make this work. And I'm hoping that there's new faces and new people, and they all just kind of start crawling out.
I'm sure there will be, because people had to have been thinking and strategizing and calculating their moves for once wrestling returns to the UK. So I'm sure, especially since we have seen some departures from the independent scene to places like NXT UK and that, there's probably going to be a shift in, especially if you tag teams, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. The Medusa Complex is a heartbreaking one, because I loved watching the two together.
Yeah, same.
But obviously, Millie, I'm not actually sure what her NXT name is now.
It's Millie. Amelia. It's just Amelia. Amelia. Yeah, Amelia McKenzie.
Amelia McKenzie. I know she'd went over, I'd just not seen the kind of update her name, but hopefully, I mean, she's on to bigger and better things and deserved 100%. She's a phenomenal wrestler, considering her age too.
Yeah.
But it breaks my heart. Medusa Complex was amazing.
And then Charlie's over in Australia now, back in her her home country. So, they're both doing incredible things. So at the end of the day, can't be mad at them for going out to incredible things. I do hope sometime, though, in the future, we can see just one more time.
Just one more time. The last time I seen them was at TNT, and it was just, it was phenomenal. I was like nearly crying.
they're incredible. I love all the UK girls. You guys are so special. And I feel like now that you guys have been away for so long, like when it returns, you guys are like going to step up your game even more, because it's been anticipated and you guys are yearning to get out there, I'm guessing. So I'm excited.
Yeah. We're all itching now, like the foot's ready to be on the gas full speed. I just power through and remember, can I get wrestling back up to where it was before the pandemic hit? We've got a lot of work to do, but we'll make it happen.
I bet. Now, speaking of your tag team, Angels in the Night, if you could wrestle any other tag team in the world right now, one from the past and one from the present day, who would you choose for you and Angel to face?
So I would have loved to wrestle the Woke Queens, 100%. The Woke Queens could have been amazing. Like, we would have had such a fun time with them. And I think, up to date, probably the She-Wolves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the She-Wolves. Imagine.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
I know. So fingers crossed for them.
Fingers crossed. I think She-Wolves is definitely doable. Unfortunately, Woke Queens have been split up. As
the Woke Queens that
Bakery is in NXT so UK right now. But who knows? Maybe Debbie will link up with somebody new, and maybe Woke Queens 2.0 or something.
Debbie is a phenomenal person and a phenomenal wrestler.
For
she's
sure.
just an all around, like, she's an all around female wrestler that you want to have, like, in a locker room with you, and for somebody that would support you if you needed it. She's a great girl.
Yeah, she speaks so eloquently and has such a great heart and a great vision. And so and super hilarious too. Like, I loved their whole things they did with OTT and the Woke Queens. It was phenomenal.
TikToks kept me going during the beginning of the pandemic. Right.
Shout out to Debbie Keitel. Incredible person and incredible character and persona in wrestling too.
Yes, definitely.
Now, if Angels of the Night could have any celebrity be their manager for a night, pun intended, who do you envision and why?
Oh God, that's a hard one. I can't even think.
I think it's a fun one.
I don't even know who Angel would want. Like, she's so picky. She'd be like, no. Every time I suggested something, it'd be like, no. I mean, I know who I'd pick. Like, I'd have, like, Avril Lavigne or something as my manager.
Okay, but yeah.
Angel would be like, nah. She'd want some form of, like, really good-looking man. And I'd be like, no, give me Avril Lavigne, please.
I would love Avril Lavigne, though. It fits with your whole gimmick. But I mean, Angel, you just got to compromise. I want yeah. Avril Lavigne too.
Shout out to Angel compromising for Angels of the Night. We have Avril Lavigne.
Right, please. That'd be so cool if she could like perform for you guys out there too for your entrance.
Wouldn't that? Oh, I don't even think I could make my entrance from crying.
Like this isn't happening.
I'd be like, some to get me a wheelchair or a fader or something.
That's funny. Somebody's got to book that though. Book Avril Lavigne and Angels of the Night, please. Make it happen.
Yes, please. And shout out to Angel for just accepting that Avril yep. Lavigne is going to be my manager. And if she doesn't like it, she can stay in the locker room.
And then you can, oh my God, imagine Avril has to tag in. Oh my God, that's funny.
I know. I miss Avril Lavigne. Where'd you go?
Now, before I let you go, Rosie, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Rosie Knight UK and the same on Facebook, just Rosie Knight. And obviously on Instagram as well, it's Rosie Knight UK.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Rosie. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been. It's been a great laugh.